chapter 2 on page 441 in the Pew Bibles, and I will start reading at verse 10, and I'll read to verse 22, which is the end of the chapter. Hear God's word. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and the paths of the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. And here ends the reading from the Holy Word of God, and may He bless that to our hearts and our minds. Well, we will continue our study in the book of Proverbs this evening, and as I meditated on this section, Proverbs 2, verses 10 through 22, I was reminded of one of the characters in Pilgrim's Progress. There's a character named Talkative in Pilgrim's Progress, and Talkative is a man that Christian and faithful meet on their journey between the Valley of the Shadow of Death and Vanity Fair. And Talkative comes from the City of Destruction, and Christian is familiar with Talkative. He's familiar with his reputation as his reputation goes before him. So Talkative, as he's working his way, walking with Christian and with Faithful, he clearly is talking. He talks a lot, and he speaks of religious things, but the things of God have not affected his heart. They've not affected his mind. He's merely able to talk about the things of God, and yet when it comes to living the Christian life, he's known for mistreating his family and mistreating his employees, and he is also a heavy drinker. So Faithful tries to engage Talkative in conversation about the gospel and the way the gospel works in the life of a person, and Talkative just avoids that conversation. It's not something he's interested in. He's interested in talking about religion, but not the gospel. He's interested in talking religion, but when it comes to living out the Christian life, it's something that is beyond him. Eventually, Christian and Faithful part ways. Talkative goes off in another direction. Now, what's clear about Talkative in Pilgrim's Progress is that he was raised in the church, that he's a covenant youth, as we would say. And he was able, as a covenant youth, to talk about things that revolved around spiritual life and the Bible and Christianity. But when it came to the gospel and the needs of your very soul, Talkative was unable to speak to these things. He would not repent, and he would not believe. Now, in the Christian life, there are many who are able to talk about the things of God. There are many who are raised in the church, and are able to have some level of conversation concerning the truth of the Christian life, and yet they never own the Christian faith. They never believe and hold on to what it means to be a Christian, what it means to live according to the Word of God. Now, you might be asking, what does that have to do with the Proverbs that we have read? What does that have to do with Proverbs chapter 2? Well, I want you to remember something that we've talked about in the first chapter and the first half of the second chapter, is that wisdom comes from the mouth. Wisdom is something that is spoken in the book of Proverbs, isn't it? And as it's spoken, it is spoken as the Word of God. That's how the wisdom of God comes forward, is that wisdom is spoken from the book that we study, from the Word of God. And this is the wisdom that is given. Now, despite talkative, wisdom, the wisdom of God is still spoken. And we've learned that from the book of Proverbs so far. Wisdom begins with the fear of God. Wisdom is found within the Word of God. Jesus Christ is central to the wisdom of God. And wisdom speaks. Wisdom speaks. But I want you to notice that as you look at Proverbs 2, verses 10 through 22, is that as wisdom speaks, as the Word of God goes forth, and as the wisdom of God speaks into your life, there are other voices that are also speaking. Other voices that are trying to take your attention, whether that's like talkative, who is able to speak on some spiritual things and say, just don't go too far with this. Don't become extreme. Don't believe all this. Use this as something that can entertain you, so to speak. I want you to notice in Proverbs 2, 10 through 22, that there are other voices that speak, and they're competing voices that are calling for your heart and your mind. And again, Proverbs written in its context, written to young men, and then to young people, and then we broaden that as it's written to the people of God. We're reminded that there are competing voices in the world that say to you, come and be a part of this. Put the wisdom of God aside. Put the scriptures aside and come and hear what these other voices might have to say. Now notice in verses 10 through 11 that Solomon gives the preserving nature of wisdom. He says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. So even before he tells you of these competing voices, he says, here's the warning, here's the pledge that God is going to give you, that when you're growing in wisdom and when wisdom is part of your heart and this knowledge of the things of God is something that's pleasant or sweet to your soul, this discretion is going to preserve you and keep you. So right even before you hear these other voices, you're reminded the wisdom of God, Jesus Christ, these will preserve you as they're sweet to your soul. This introduction tells you that wisdom, which is centered in a vital and living and true love for Jesus Christ, that this life in the presence of the world is going to be sustaining for you. Discretion preserves, understanding will keep you. One commentator said, Proverbs seeks to prepare us to live in the real world, where there are many threats to our virtue. The latter half of Proverbs 2 tells us how wisdom protects the young man from dangerous men and women. You see, the reality is that as Solomon is open to the young men that are hearing his voice, the reality is that we can do nothing to protect us from these other voices calling us away. What we have to do is, when we hear these other voices that are calling, to be able to come in with the wisdom of God and to stand on Jesus Christ and say, this is my defense. This is what will sustain me in this life. So you consider the fact that you will be kept through wisdom and discretion. Your life will have this filter that is the Word of God and Jesus Christ, and you will be preserved for this life and the next. And this comes through hearing. We see that all through the Scriptures. For the Christian, words and hearing are the way to your soul. You know, there is something to be said about the eyes. There's something that's said about smells or touch. But hearing in the Word of God, hearing is that first entryway into the soul. And the doors of our ears and hearts are open to the Word of God, and words become that which we watch for. Words of wisdom from Christ, or watching for words of temptation from outside. You see, biblical wisdom in its genuine sense conquers temptation through hearing and through words, through the words of Christ and through the Word of God. Now, where Solomon goes next with this is that as he's speaking about temptation, we see that there are two cases of temptation that he puts out before the young man. There's two things that are going to be common in your life. And again, the context, especially to young men, but that gets broadened, it gets generalized. And he tells us that there are temptations that will come from other men, and there are temptations that come from women. And he warns these young men who are hearing to think of these things. You see, Christian, learn that often the heart of wisdom and the failure of wisdom are centered here in our hearing and in our mouth, what we see and what we hear and what we speak. And the wisdom of Christ can deliver. Now, what does this wisdom of Christ deliver from? Now, look at the structure of the proverb. The phrase to deliver comes up twice. First, delivered from men that do evil, verses 12 through 15. And then to deliver from the immoral woman, 16 to verse 20. So first we'll start with to protect you from the man that does evil. That's verses 12 through 15. It says to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil, delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. So we see that in the temptation of this life, there are going to be those that call the believer away from the things of God. And it begins with speech. The man speaks, and he is calling the young man, the believer, away from the things of God. He begins to call him into the way of darkness. Now look at the characteristics that are given here. The first, as I mentioned, is that he speaks. His speech is intentional. He is calling them to turn away from the things of God. And what God is giving as a warning here to those that trust in him is that when you come in contact with the man that's calling you by his speech away from the things of God, that you must remember both the wisdom of the Word of God and the person and work of Jesus Christ, who is wisdom embodied. These are our defense as the world calls us to move away from the things of God and to hear the world rather than the Word of God. And friends, I think you could say that as you've watched maybe friends or loved ones wander away from the things of God in your life, often it begins here. I heard this thing, or this person said, or this person's defense against why they're not a Christian was valuable, or they called me to be entertained, or this seemed like a good idea, and they're called away from the things of God. And here Solomon is saying, you will hear these things. Put up the defense. The Word of God, the person and work of Jesus Christ. Have your ears filled with those things and speak those things as the world will call you away. So he speaks, but notice also that he is perverse. Now we hear the word perverse and we think something along the lines of sexual sin, or we think of someone that maybe tells dirty jokes or uses swear words and those sorts of things. And these may be things that are perverse, but the word perverse means that he's upside down. He's not thinking according to the Scriptures. The things that are primary according to the Word of God are not primary according to the one who's perverse. They're actually at the bottom. They're of the least value. You know, oh, someday I'll get to church. I know I should go back, but I'm just not ready to go back. Or, of course I know I should read the Word of God, but I just don't have time. I'm doing these other things. And the perverse man is not necessarily the one that's out there that we would think of as a pervert, but he's upside down, meaning that his priorities are backwards, and his priorities are not the priorities of the Scripture. You may remember the famous Luther quote, where Luther said that he had so much to do the next day that he needed to rise early so that he could pray. Meaning, I don't have time in my schedule to say, I can't pray and I can't read the Bible because I'm so busy. I need to get up earlier so that I can read the Bible and so that I can pray. And friends, that is the one who puts wisdom and puts the Word of God there on the forefront of the defense and is protected from the man who does evil. So his speech is against the Word of God. He is perverse, meaning he is upside down. And wisdom enters the heart, and we are able to defend ourselves from that. But notice also his way of life. His ways are crooked. He has the ways of darkness, or paths that are crooked, and he's left the path of the upright. That is a key. He's left the path of the upright. We can tie that back in with talkative. This isn't average Joe Pagan out there in the world that's never been to church. This is someone who was a part of the community of God and has walked away and is calling others to walk away as well. It's not someone who's never heard the gospel. It's not someone who doesn't know the things of God. It's not someone often, you know, as the missionary question around election is always, well, what about out in the middle of Africa, somebody who's never heard the gospel? This is not that man. This is the man who has sat in these pews, the man who was baptized here in the church, the man maybe who has professed his faith and has walked away, and in his walking away does not go quietly away, but calls all of us to go with him. Calls us to know the sweetness of a life of sin that he knows. His way of life is darkness, crooked paths, and he has left the path of the upright. And the reason he is able to do that is because of verse 14. He rejoices in doing evil, and his delight is in the perversity of the wicked. Those are the desires to call the people of God away from the things of God. And again, I keep going back to the fact that Proverbs, in its original context, is written to young men. Young men, you will come in contact, and young women, you will come in contact with these people. People that want to tell you, oh, I went to church. Oh, I know the things of God. Oh, I've read the Bible. And they'll tell you all of the reasons why you should walk away from the faith. Know that the Word of God here says, you are able to discern and prevent this from happening by filling your mind and your heart with the Word of God and the person and work of Jesus Christ. That is the key to fighting against this man that does evil. We're reminded by Jesus this question, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? This is the cry of the instructor here. Those who will hear are warned, and those that are warned will heed the word of God. So by the revelation of God, Psalm 19 tells us, your servant is warned. We must find ourselves walking on the path of Christ and the one who speaks wisdom. We're called to be protected against the man that speaks perversity and against the word of God. But there is another warning in the text, another to deliver. Notice the beginning of verse 16. The word of God, the wisdom of God, the person and work of Christ as embodiment of wisdom, it delivers us from the man who is perverse. In verse 16, it delivers us from the woman who is immoral. That's verses 16 through 20. I'll read that for you. To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death, and her path to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the path of life. You see, the wisdom of Jesus Christ can and will deliver you from this woman here who's described as the immoral woman. Now, within the book of Proverbs, I mentioned in the opening sermon to this series that there are a number of characters that we see repeatedly through the book of Proverbs. The first is wisdom personified. That's the character that we meet all through the book of Proverbs. And the second most prominent character in the book of Proverbs is this immoral woman. She is the other voice that is calling the people of God away from the wisdom of God and away from Jesus Christ. A woman who does not have discretion, and a woman who calls men to her destructive ways. And I want you to notice that she also speaks, doesn't she? So wisdom speaks, and this immoral man that we saw, or this destructive man, speaks. And now the immoral woman speaks. She too is talkative. And as she speaks, she is destructive and flattering with her words. She's speaking in such a way that she's calling the man unto herself. And here the word that we see in the Pew Bible is she is described as an immoral woman. There's a couple of ways that word can be translated. Probably the older way of translating this word is strange. The strange woman. Now, there's another way that it can be translated as well. Foreign. The foreign woman. Now, you might hear that translation. You say, well, that sounds racist, Pastor. We probably shouldn't use that translation today. But it's foreign because the foreign woman has foreign gods. She's not, you know, there's nothing wrong with her being from another nation. It's the other gods that is the concern here. And it's interesting because here's Solomon. You picture him as an old man, and he's called all the young men. You imagine all the teens gathered around Solomon, and he's feeble, and he's there with the cane, and he's seated, and all these young men gathered around him. And Solomon is saying, I want to share my wisdom with you. I want to share all that I've learned in this life. And here in chapter 2, one of the earliest lessons that he teaches is this lesson against the foreign woman, against the one who's going to bring other gods and the complications that idolatry brings into a relationship. And you think Solomon, he probably had, even as an old man, he probably still had hundreds of foreign wives. And he's saying this is destructive. This is something that will destroy your soul, both with idolatry as well as love that is unauthorized by God. That's another way it can be translated, unauthorized. You think of in the Old Testament, Nadab and Abihu offering strange fire before the Lord. And that strange fire is something that is unauthorized, or it's foreign, or it's something that is immoral. It's something that's wrong. And God disciplines them for bringing this unauthorized, foreign, strange, immoral fire into the worship of God. And here's Solomon saying that this other voice that's speaking and that it's calling is a voice that is calling and is immoral and foreign and strange and unauthorized. You see, the scriptures warn us against being unequally yoked, and the scriptures call on us to divide between that which God commands and that which God forbids. You know, one of the most difficult things in the world in dealing with young people is dealing with and giving counsel to a young person who has, quote unquote, fallen in love with an unbeliever and is going to try to make it work. And Solomon's saying, it's destructive. It will destroy your soul. It will destroy you. It is unauthorized. See, in Scripture, adultery is closely related to the state of one's soul. So much so that the way in the Old Testament that that unfaithfulness to God and estrangement to God is spoken of most commonly is in terms of adultery. You can think of some of the words that come offensively to our ears that God or the prophets use against the people of God. Sometimes the word whoredom is used. Not a word we really use, but it's a word that's often used throughout the Old Testament to describe the spiritual state of Israel, because they're pulling away from God and they're seeking that which is strange and unauthorized and immoral and foreign. And here the warning is, young men, this woman who comes into your life may be one who calls you away from the Lord. To be cautious that these other voices speak. But what I want you to notice about this woman that we call the immoral woman, and when we think about her in terms of being foreign or immoral, she, like the man that we just spoke about, is also part of the covenant community, or was part of the covenant community. Verse 16 tells us of her methods. She flatters and seduces with her words. Again, speaking being that central gate that calls us in, whether that's wisdom speaking or here flattering and seduction being spoken of. And look at 16 and 17. We see her character. There are two covenants that she forgets as she calls this young man unto herself. She has a husband, and she forgets that covenant, and she has a covenant with her God. Verse 17, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. You see, I think this is the most tragic thing about the immoral woman in the book of Proverbs. It's not that she's just from out there calling Christian men to come and be destroyed. She is someone who was raised in the church, someone who knew the things of God, someone who was catechized and set apart as a child of God, and yet she calls these young men unto herself. She was part of the covenant community and has walked away. And what is her goal? Remember the man that we spoke of earlier? His goal is to get you to live this perverse life, to flip the script and to walk away from the things of God. Her goal is the same. Her goal is death. How can one who believes that he is safe from her walk in her path? Death is the end goal, not enjoyment. You would think that as she's calling these men, and as she'll call later in the book of Proverbs to enjoy sweet things, her goal is not enjoyment, but death. It is not ease, but it is death. And again, we are warned. We are warned to be free from the man who speaks evil and draws you away from the Lord. And we are warned to flee from the immoral woman who will draw you away from the Lord. Both of them essentially being the same person, but in male embodiment and in female embodiment. But verses 20 and 21 give us both warning and a hope. There is safety in the will of God. There is safety in hearing the wisdom of God. There is safety in being found in Jesus Christ. Verse 20, so you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness, for the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. So again, there's these two paths that are set out before the people of God. There's this way of life and there's this way of death. There's Christian going towards the city of eternal life, and there's talkative who's happy to sort of wander on the way, but eventually will go down a different path. There is deliverance from and deliverance from, and then verse 20, so that. That's important. So that it is a purpose statement. You will be delivered. And there are two options. You will either dwell and remain, or you will be cut off and uprooted. Those that dwell in and remain will be in the land, the place of God's blessing. You see, the land represents Christ. Jesus is the land, the true Israel, the true inheritance of God. And when we find ourselves clinging and resting in Jesus Christ, we're told that we dwell and that we remain. All of these outside voices that are seeking to pull us away will not pull us away as we cling to Jesus Christ. And the second option, being cut off and uprooted. The wicked are cut off and put away from the presence of God. Friends, the Proverbs point you to the wisdom of God. They point you to Jesus Christ, who saves sinners and redeems those who come to Him by faith. I would encourage you to consider your path. and to consider the voices that you're listening to on your path. Voices are going to either point you to Christ and call you to faithfulness and call you to the Word of God, or voices will call you away from the things of God and away from Jesus Christ. What are you listening to be delivered from, to be delivered from, so that you remain? May you be delivered from the voices that call you and tempt you and pull you away. And may you look to Christ, who is the wisdom of God, the one who is our help, and the one to whose voice we listen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the beauty of the books of wisdom and the Proverbs. Help us, O Lord, as we hear voices, to look and listen to you. Amen.